Discover insights to boost your business or improve your quality of life right here on the Soar to Success podcast with your host, Pat Altvader.
Hello, everyone. Once a month, our Soar to Success podcast is an interview with the featured expert who's on the cover of our Soar to Success magazine that month. Today, my guest is Jeannie DeWitt, co-owner of Computer Programming Unlimited, based in Toledo, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Jeannie.
Thanks, Pat. I'm really excited to be a part of this today.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you. So tell our audience a little bit about what you do, and then more importantly, the why that you do it.
CPU, we abbreviate Computer Programming Unlimited as CPU to make it easy.
Good.
Well, he wasn't my husband at the time, but he is my husband now. We started CPU about 29 years ago to help businesses solve IT issues. And, yes, there were actually IT issues back 29 years ago.
That's hard to believe.
I know. We started as a software developer, basically helping businesses to solve their business challenges by automating repeatable processes in their business. Today, there's a lot of application software that did some of the things that we developed way back then because those types of applications didn't exist. But we still do that today in applications that don't exist. So we do develop those applications for businesses. Today, we're pretty much a leader in cloud IT and development services, and we serve small to mid-sized businesses all over the world. And our job is to help businesses reduce their costs and the complexity of their business by automating processes and basically reducing risks, the risks that they have of managing their own equipment and IT and so forth. Trying to make it so that IT is competitive and cost effective is really what we're trying to do. Right. And personally, I do it for a couple of reasons. When we got started, we wanted to help businesses with their IT because IT, we know that IT was a great asset to any business, but when it doesn't work, it can be a real detriment. So we wanted to start CPU to help businesses make IT work for them. And I also love what I do. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You can feel the passion when you talk about it, so that's really cool. Now, 29 years ago, when you first got involved, well, you were actually involved before 29 years because it's 29 years since you've had your company, right? So it doesn't seem like there were probably many women in the field of IT at that time. So what was your reason for going into IT, and how did you get interested in that as a potential career path for you?
Well, and of course, I'm dating myself now, but you are correct. There were no women in the IT field. In fact, when I was in college, when I first went to college, there was no such thing as a computer science degree or even computer science courses. They didn't exist yet. Of course, computers existed, but not at the college that I went to in Ohio. The course curriculum did not exist. But about my sophomore year, I've always been involved in the sciences, and I've always been involved in mathematics, and they did offer their first course in IT and computer science, and I decided to take the course just to see what it was all about. And I just loved it. I was fascinated by it. It really affected my creative side, because I do have a creative side, and then also that mathematics and science side that I have. It kind of, you know, encompassed both of those sides of what I like to do. And I could also tell that it was going to be a really big part of the world, and I really wanted to be a part of that. So I continued taking courses and ended up pursuing my several degrees in that background. So.
And so when you first started, were you using the punch card decks and writing programs and pushing it.
Yes, I was.
That was the beginning of time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So you mentioned already that you're in business with your husband. And so how did it come about that you two started your own company?
My first job out of college, I worked for a local company here in Toledo where I actually met David, my husband-to-be at the time, and we weren't dating at the time or anything like that. And the company we worked for owned several smaller businesses that we were in charge of the IT for all these businesses. And basically when one of those businesses had a problem, they would call us, which was the centralized IT department, and we would, you know, help them correct any problems that they were having, or we would put in new computers or whatever it was that they needed, we would take care of it. And we knew that there would be a need for that type of help in the real business world, not just in, you know, having an IT company for all the companies that you own as a larger company, but all the small and mid-sized businesses out there would need that type of help for themselves. And so we started CPU basically as an opportunity for small and mid-sized businesses to basically share in the cost of having an IT department.
And so just because I think people's personal stories are very interesting, so then how long after that did you start dating and then get married?
Well, it was probably about a year later that we started dating, and then we got married about 5 years later.
So what's it like working with your husband?
Well, actually, because we have so much in common, because we started in the same industry and we have so much of the same backgrounds and likes from that standpoint, it's actually pretty easy. And this is a big question. When people find out that I work with my husband, this is a big question that I get all the time. How do you work with your husband? But because we have that synergy on such a common thing that we do and common ground, it's pretty simple. The other simple thing is also that because, you know, our company is larger, we work in different departments. So I work in sales and marketing and project management, and he works in IT. And except for the times that we get together to do business planning on the future of the business and where we're going and things like that, we don't see each other on a daily basis. So it's almost like when we come home at night, we don't even know necessarily what happened during their particular day. So that helps quite a bit, too.
Yeah, and so how many employees do you have?
We have 10 employees right now. So, and we've grown over the years larger than that, and we actually kind of downsized for a few reasons. Some of that was actually because of how IT has changed over the years. We were able to do more productivity with less people, which has been very helpful.
Yeah, so that does bring me to my next question about the changes. So, I mean, to be in business for 29 years is really incredible. You should be very proud of yourself, which, you know, I'm sure you are. But anyway, I, you know, in such a rapidly changing environment, so what's the key that you've found to being able to stay successful in such a rapidly evolving industry, and what changes have you seen over the years that have been really beneficial to you as a business owner?
I think probably our biggest reason that we have been successful for so long is our ability to plan and change and be nimble. IT is changing so quickly, just like what you said, that if we were to stay static, we would have been out of business many, many, many years ago. Some of the things that have changed are things like remote versus on-site. You know, back 29 years ago, there was no internet. There was no internet connection. We didn't even have fax machines yet. I mean, this is how far back it goes. You know, you called somebody up and you wanted a documentation, they had to mail it to you. I mean, it really is quite different than it is today. And so when we had to take care of somebody's issue, we would have to do a truck roll. We would have to get into a truck and we would have to go and to a location and fix it. So our where we could service our clients was very location-based. We couldn't go that far, maybe, you know, 50 miles, 60 miles, and that was probably about it. But today, 95% of our business is remote. We do most of our service remotely. I have several people that sit at desks and watch screens for issues and correct them and take care of things all on a remote access. So we don't need to go to a location for too many reasons at all, to be honest. And that has expanded our reach. And with the addition of our cloud business that we've been working on for about the past 10 years and expanding that division of our business, we are able to serve customers throughout the entire world.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what do you see? And like as you plan for your company, you must be, in order to have been around for this long, you must be looking forward and seeing, oh, this is what's going to be happening and projecting what might be the next things that are coming along so that you make sure that you're ready for that. Is that mm-hmm. true?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so what's coming now?
I think what we see coming for the future is really cloud-based application and the cloud. Today, we've been doing cloud for probably over 10 years. We've been doing private clouds. The public cloud and all the hype about cloud that you hear today has only probably been around for maybe 3 or 4 years. But cloud technology has actually existed since the year 2000, and we have been working with companies to implement private clouds in their businesses for that long. But today, the cloud that exists today and what we are implementing in our company is the ability for any business, no matter what size they are, whether they're one person, whether they're 40 people or 50 people, to have the ability to compete against companies the size of Microsoft or IBM, technologies that those size companies have had for a long time and have given them a competitive edge in the business world that smaller and mid-sized businesses have not been able to afford. And now,
so can you give me an example of what that means? Are you talking about like someone like me being able to have access to applications, like programs, like Photoshop, or something like that, or are you talking about something totally different than that?
No, that is one aspect of it. The cloud is huge, and there's a lot of different aspects of the cloud, but one of them is exactly what you just talked about. For example, we sell ERP software. ERP is Enterprise Resource Planning, mm-hmm. which does things like accounting, advanced accounting, project management, shop floor control, very high-end analysis of your business data and so forth. Those types of software packages, if you were to buy them out of the box, mm-hmm. probably run anywhere between, they run around $5,000 a user is really what it is. If you had 10 users, it would cost you $50,000 for that software mm-hmm. alone. And then on top of that, that's just for the first year. On top of that, you pay a maintenance fee every year mm-hmm. of about 18%. So it's extremely costly. A small business could not afford that. But today, I can allow you to utilize that software for $70 a month. That's
wow.
the difference in the power of the cloud, exactly. And mm-hmm. now an additional thing is that type of software, if you were to purchase that type of software, you have to have a server, an in-house server, with all the Microsoft stack of products, so their server software and Microsoft SQL Server and all the different products that system utilizes. Well, again, I can rent you all that stack, all of those products and a server for a small monthly amount per month. And mm-hmm. you can have that software and that computing power for a very, very small fraction of the cost. So that's a simplified example of it, but it's basically where a lot of things are going. And again, it gives people that competitive edge. And one of the things that makes us so different, it's because a lot of the companies that are out there that are providing this type of service, they're just a big box company. They don't listen to you and your needs and what you need and basically configure the cloud for you. They just have their standard packages. You buy package A or you buy package B. Neither one may quite work for you, but you go out and you buy it that way. For us, we configure it to our customers And you have us. You're not trying to get a hold of, you know, a company that has 1,000 people in it, and, you know, you talk to somebody and they're, you know, their people are over in India answering the phone. You can't understand what they say, and, you know, you get into all that kind of stuff. Nothing against that, but you have us to take care of you, and that's one of the reasons why we have been really focused on building this part of our business, because we know how much of a future it is and how much businesses are going to need this. I would say in 5 years, businesses that do not have their applications and their computing power in the cloud are going to really be behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so interesting because I'm older than you, and so when computers first came out, of course we had those decks and big, large companies, you know, the punch decks. But there were dummy terminals, you know, that all connected to some huge room full of computers that were gigantic. And it sounds like we're sort of going back to that same system. Only we're not going to call them dummy terminals, but, you know, we're going back to that system where you are at your desk connecting to this powerful thing, which is now the cloud, and having so much more ability with less investment in all that infrastructure. Is that true?
And that is very true. That is very true. And one of the powers of it is exactly what you just said, and that is that, you know, they used to just have a little terminal that used to connect to these data centers, and that's really one of the big reasons why people are moving to the cloud, is because it allows you to be connected to your data anywhere on any device. So if I'm sitting on my phone, I can connect to my office, I can connect and access applications, I can access my documents, I can access anything on my phone, my tablet, my computer, I can go visit my mom and get on her computer and access my servers that are in the cloud for my office and access anything that I need to. You become connected all the time. You're never without your data. So that is exactly, it's a big turnaround. Exactly.
Yeah. I want to turn to this question that I ask everyone that we interview for the magazine feature, and that is what you think it takes to soar to success. And I'm sure over your 29 years that you've seen lots of businesses kind of come and go and, you know, fail, and some that have stood the test of time like yours. So can you tell me the top three traits that you can identify in individuals, so when you meet them, let's say when you're out networking, maybe at your BNI or somewhere else at a chamber meeting or something, and you meet someone and you find out about them and you see they have these three traits and you feel like they probably will go on and have a very successful business. So what do you think those are?
Wow, there's probably a lot, but I think some of the things that I would look for, or I can see, is first of all probably the excitement about what it is that they are either in business for or want to start a business for, and their reasons behind why they want to do it. That passion that you see in a lot of entrepreneurs that really gets them up in the morning and excited about doing what they want to do. That's one thing. Probably some other things are the ability to adapt to change. I don't think it matters. I mean, we happen to be in a very high changing business, but I think that any business is going to change over time. And if you can't adapt to that change or you aren't willing to change, I think that that can be a big issue with someone who is either running their own business or wanting to start a business and really wants to make it successful, is, you know, listening to their customers, listening to what they want, and being able to provide, you know, what they see as changes are coming down the pike and so on and so forth. And then I guess maybe the third would be looking for people that can treat their business like a business. It's not, you know, it's its own living, breathing entity, and it's something that everybody needs to treat that way. When, you know, I think what has made us successful and what has made us my husband and I still married today, is that when we come home, we separate business from our personal lives. Now, we are connected. We are an IT company. I always have my phone with me. I always know when something is going on. But I am able to separate those two out. I am able to go out and have some fun. I am able
to
go
out.
I do sometimes. Sometimes I wonder. But I think that, you know, being able to separate those out and know that business is business. I mean, that, you know, that if my husband and I disagree that day on plans for the future of our business, it's not something for us to take personally, and we don't take it personally. And when we come home at night, that conversation is done until we have to pick it up at the office again. So mm-hmm. I think that is another thing that I would, you know, look for, or I look would see in an individual as someone that would be successful.
Mm-hmm. Wow, those are three good points. So what do you do for fun when you have fun?
Oh, well, I enjoy the outdoors. I enjoy traveling around. My husband and I have some different vehicles that we like to just ride around different parks and going to different places. I like to knit. I like to do crafts as far as making cards, you know, birthday cards and things like that, just things that kind of take my mind off of work from that standpoint.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things, but those are probably the things that come to mind, I guess.
Do you have to schedule time for yourself, or does it just automatically work for you to have work be done at a certain time every day?
Oh, no, it really does need to be scheduled. I am honestly probably the true definition of a workaholic. I'm mm-hmm. one of those people that will work all the time. And being in the IT industry and having a husband who is very good at, you know, he's head of our IT department, so he's very good at doing what he does. You know, we have offices in our home as well as offices at our office or business. And
yeah.
So, you know, if I have an idea at 10 o'clock at night, I can go to my office in my house and work on that idea. So it's it does need to be scheduled. The only time that I probably don't do something like that is when I know for sure that I'm scheduled to do something with friends or family or something of that sort. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Right. Well, thanks so much, Jeannie, for giving us your insights on how you've stayed in business for so long, and really interesting to talk to you about what's coming in your industry and kind of what we can expect. Plus, I love your three ideas for what you see in successful people. So thank you so much for joining me today on the Sort of Success podcast, and wish you great success, and can't wait to celebrate your 30th anniversary in business.
Yeah, us too. Thank you so much. I'm really honored to be on your show, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sort of Success podcast. For more insights into growing your business or improving your quality of life, visit soartosuccessmagazine.com and subscribe to the Soar to Success podcast on iTunes.